Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFBA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
City Councilman Will McIntosh in this morning, the one of the at-large members on Fredericksburg City Council. Will, it's great to have you back this morning. Good morning.
Awesome. Thank you, Ted. Thanks for having me in on this gray and rainy and dreary morning.
I was just going to say, you're going to be the one who brings sunshine to our lives.
I hope so, right?
That's our goal. You're wearing a Fred Nats hat, which incidentally, not too long ago, they became Carolina League champions, which
is so exciting. Pretty cool. Yeah. I think it's just crazy that they've just been here for 4 years, right?
And yeah, when you hear that, you think it seems like we've already climbed the heights.
Yeah. And they got, you know, they had that rough start, opening in the middle of the pandemic. And I think it's great what they've been able to do over the last couple of years.
It is. It's become such a great place to go in the summer when you can just on a whim decide, hey, let's go to the ballpark tonight.
Yeah, see and be seen, right?
Yeah. So, did you go to the championship game?
I went to the Tuesday evening one that got rained out. So we just ate hot dogs and stared at a wet field for an hour and a half. But then the next night I couldn't make it back, unfortunately. So I didn't see the doubleheader.
Oh, okay.
But I did get to go watch it rain on the field for an hour and a half. Well, I got my hot dog and that was
participated.
Yeah, exactly.
You participated. So a lot going on since we have since we last did a show a few months ago. One of the things that the city is working through right now is the comprehensive plan.
Yeah,
you and I did a video, and you ought to go to YouTube and just type in Will McIntosh, Fredericksburg City Council comprehensive plan. It is a great video because to me, when you had said to me, let's get together and talk about the comprehensive plan, I thought on a cloudy day, you really make the case that the comprehensive plan and right now is your opportunity to really guide the direction of the city.
Yeah, I mean, the comprehensive plan, on the one hand, is a very technical document. It's got a lot of city planner speak in it.
Yeah.
I can see why people might think that is a little bit boring, right? But what it really is it's a kind of statement, a collective statement about what we want the city to look like in the future over the course of the next couple of decades. And we redo our comp plan every 10 years. I mean, we do minor updates in the middle, right? As things change, but the goal is every 10 years to do a kind of major rewrite. So our last one we adopted in 2015. So we're working on a new comp plan to be adopted at some point next year. And we're in the phase right now where it's really just about gathering community input. And this is, I think, the most exciting part of this process, because this is the time when people can reach out and tell us, you know, what are their hopes and dreams for Fredericksburg? This is like the visioning moment, right? What do we want the city to look like in terms of transportation and business? And what do we want our neighborhoods to look like? What are environment, public facilities, parks? You know, what's our hopes and dreams for the city of Fredericksburg? And, you know, we're collecting all that right now, and then the professional planners wrap that all up and do their thing, and they come up with a document which is going to guide our decision making for the next decade.
And just what you said, guide our decision making is a big. You may think it's a boring topic until something all of a sudden comes in, and you're like, you know, that's not what I want.
Well, yeah.
This is the time to say, I don't want the city to do A, B, or C.
Yeah, or I do want the city to do A, B, or C, right?
Yeah.
You know, I want to see more playgrounds in our neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to see better Fred bus service, right, in the places where I need to go. There's a intersection right here that I walk across all the time that just needs a better crosswalk. I think that we should be, supporting our small businesses, or, you know, I really value the Rappahannock River and we need to see what we can do to better connect our community to the river, all those kinds of things. And helps us as leaders frame the decisions we're making over the next decade, because it's really, this is the moment where we kind of collectively come up with that vision.
Yeah. Well, and when those issues do come up, when there is talk about, or you can look and would, just using the playground example, mm-hmm. to say, mm-hmm. people have said, you know, people, when we were talking about the comprehensive plan, said this is what they mm-hmm. want.
Yeah,
you have something behind you to make your case.
Yeah, I mean, a great example is our, you know, still pretty new riverfront park that we have, that great riverfront park downtown. Yeah. That was something that community members decades ago had been talking about, you know, needing to have more park facilities downtown, needing to have a space to have events downtown, trying to reconnect our city to its river more directly, right? Make that city-river interface a little bit more welcoming, right? Yeah. And so that's something that people talked about for decades, and it guided, you know, over the course of a very, very long time, the construction of that park, and we all are enjoying it nowadays. So this is the kind of thing that we're trying to capture right now in the comp plan, right? What are those big ideas for the future? And, you know, we're not promising that that's going to happen tomorrow. These things take time, but it gives us that kind of goal we're moving towards.
What's the time frame for a lot of this?
Well, so we've been in the process of collecting public comment all summer. And it's kind of coming to a close right now, so I'm glad that I'm on here talking to you. If people want to give their input, probably the easiest way to do it is to take our online survey, which you can find at fredericksburgva.gov/forward. So I'll say that website a couple more times over the course of this interview, I'm sure, right? But it's fredericksburgva.gov/forward. And you have to remember that VA in there so that you don't end up accidentally telling Fredericksburg, Texas what you want for their future.
Yeah. Right.
So fredericksburgva.gov/forward will take you there. And there's a link right on that page to our online survey. And I should say, having taken the online survey myself, it's really, really long. It's quite extensive. If you were to sit there and fill out every question, you'd probably be there for half an hour and 45 minutes. Okay. But you don't have to do that. You know, you can scroll through and fill out the questions that speak to you. You know, we absolutely encourage partial responses. You know, if there's questions that don't inspire you one way or another, you're welcome to skip them. If there's questions that you have a lot to say about, you can really focus on those. As long as you, like, at the end of the survey, scroll down to that bottom of the page and click submit, we will get it, right? So, you know, if you're filling it out partially, that's great, but just make sure you click that submit button. And that is open through October 15th. So it's just, you know, a couple more weeks that's open.
And I'm glad you said that, because something like that can be really... It's a lot, but for you to say... We want just for a minimum, what are the issues that speak to you?
Yeah, right. Fill it. Make the survey yours, right? Speak to the things that speak to you, and don't, you know, leave them blank if it's not something you got an opinion about. There's also a couple of in-person events that I want to remind people of where our planning team is going to be out there collecting feedback from the community in person. So actually, tomorrow morning at Dixon Park from 10 to 12, in the morning, we're having what we call our sports pop-up. So we're going to have a booth there with our planning staff collecting feedback, trying to get input from parents who are there for you know, the Saturday morning youth sports leagues. But of course, you don't have to be a sports parent to participate, right? So anybody can swing by tomorrow morning, Dixon Park, and you should do that, because, as we were just saying, probably tomorrow's going to be the only nice day of the of the week coming up. So, yeah, get out tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. to noon at Dixon Park. And then next weekend, on October 5th, on Saturday, also from 10 a.m. to noon, at the Fredericksburg Area Museum, there's going to be another community meeting. So if you can't make it out tomorrow to Dixon Park, then next Saturday, 10 to 12 at FAM. We're having another in-person opportunity, and these events are really fun, right? You get to you get to write down your thoughts. They have maps of the city where you can stick post-it notes and write what you think, and stick it to the map of the city where you think it. Right? I mean, they're very fun. They're very interactive. Yeah,
and they're easy. I don't know that I have ever heard of such things for a comprehensive plan. Kudos for the city for making this as easy and as accessible as you are.
Yeah, I mean, because we really want the feedback. I mean, this is meant to be a bottom-up process. And I should also say that you don't have to live in the city of Fredericksburg to participate.
I was going to ask you that. Yeah,
no, absolutely not, right? The survey will ask you for your address, right, which we just use so that we can get a sense of who's responding. Right?
Sure.
But if you're anyone in the region who has an investment in the city of Fredericksburg and its future, if you're someone who works there or someone who just comes into town on the weekends to dine and to do all the fun stuff we have going on, we want to hear from you about that too. So yeah, you don't have to live in the city of Fredericksburg to participate, for sure.
Got a few more questions. We'll talk about this for a few more minutes. Will McIntosh here this morning from City Council. Fredericksburgva.gov/ forward.
Yes.
is the website.
Yes, I enjoy the saying backslash forward, which is funny. But yes, no, it is FredericksburgVA.gov. /forward.
Forward to, yeah. to get to the comp plan, and you don't have to be a city resident to do it. We'll continue this conversation and much more coming up with Will McIntosh. More on Newstalk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on Newstalk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Will McIntosh from City Council in this morning as we talk Fredericksburg stuff this morning. Right now talking about the comprehensive plan. I do like, Will, that you do want to hear from people, that you don't have to be just a 22401 person to participate in this. Because the city is so unique, mm-hmm. I don't think the counties don't like to hear it, but Fredericksburg has a unique place in the region. That's just it just does.
Yeah, no, it's true, and you know, we love our neighbors, and we love, you know, we want to be open and inviting to our neighbors, and you know. Obviously, people who live in the city of Fredericksburg are in the counties all the time for work and for shopping and for play and to visit friends and vice versa. And so I think that, you know, we are a region that functions as one. So, you know, we of course want to hear from our residents, right, about what they want for the future. But we want to hear from other people, too, for sure. Right. Because we all, I think, jointly share a stake in the future of this region.
Every time the city does, or anytime any locality does a comprehensive plan, it's important. But right now really is kind of a key time because we're kind of, there are just a lot of things going on, whether it's growth, whether it's, you know, building new schools, mm-hmm. whether it's just mm-hmm. all kinds of things are happening. And I guess city council does need some direction. This is one way to say this is what people are saying.
It's weird to think, but 2015 was kind of a long time ago, right? Like a lot has changed.
Now that you say that,
it's kind of a long time ago, and a lot has changed in the last, you know, almost decade in our region. So yeah, so the first chapter of the comprehensive plan is always a demographic and economic analysis of the city. And that part has actually been done because that's not a part that involves community input. That's, you know, we have consultants and academics and stuff who put together just a sort of big demographic and economic profile of the city in the context of the region and the state. So that part's actually been done, which is really cool. If you go to that website, FredericksburgVA.gov/forward, you can look at all that demographic information, because that work has already been done. And I find it totally fascinating to click through and look at the way the city has changed in terms of its demographics and its economy over the past decade. So I would encourage people to just go look at that, because I think it's a really stark illustration with numbers about the kind of change that you're talking about, and about, frankly, the very real challenges that face the city in terms of, you know, making sure that we're providing affordable housing, you know, and good employment and for all of our residents.
No, you have to just with the opening the other day of the Publisher Hotel.
Yeah.
You just go down to that part of the city and just if you hadn't been in Fredericksburg for 10 years and just from that that section going going down to the downtown has changed totally.
I think that's great. You know, I think that it's growing pains can be hard for sure, right? Yeah. But I think that kind of investment in our city is absolutely critical in terms of, you know, being the kind of city we want to be and also supporting all the stuff we need to do, right? We need to have those great new prosperous businesses in our city bringing tax revenue to support all the services and that our people need.
And then over on the other side of the city, you've got the new school, the school being built.
Yep, that's exciting, right? From what I hear, they're on schedule and under budget. So I really look forward to that opening at the beginning of the next school year.
Yeah.
And I got to have a hard hat tour of it a couple months ago, and it's going to be so cool the way they've built it. You know, it's got this interior courtyard with all this sort of outdoor eating and classroom space, and this fabulous two-story library with windows. And I think it's going to be an absolutely fabulous school. Yeah,
I haven't been by there, but just as you describe it, it's obviously going up, and will be an exciting thing. So FredericksburgVA.gov/forward.
Yep.
To take part in this survey until about middle of next month.
Yeah, October 15th, I believe, is when the survey closes. And like I said a moment ago, right, we've got these in-person events coming up tomorrow, Dixon Park, 10 a.m. to noon, and then next Saturday, October 5th, also 10 a.m. to noon at the Fredericksburg Area Museum downtown on Princess Anne Street.
It's just like the getting involved in this is just like voting. This is your chance. This is your chance to say what you want.
Yeah, and it's not just a simple yes, no, or binary choice like voting. This is, you know, where we're actually asking you in your own words what you want to see for the city of Fredericksburg.
So we'll talk about this before we get out of here this morning again and mention all that. The other big issue, I guess, out there, and one of the things that has been talked about a lot and is being talked about in all localities is data centers. And that has come to Fredericksburg.
Yep.
And there really are some issues to be looked at
for
here.
For sure, yes.
Both, no matter where you stand on this right now, there really are some issues that I'm sure that you can't ignore.
Yeah, no, and I mean, this is not unique to the city of Fredericksburg, as you said, right? It's all throughout our region these conversations are happening, and throughout the state, right? I mean, it's Virginia is the absolute global center of the data center industry. So this is, you know, something that is, the conversations are happening all over the state, right?
Every locality. Yeah. I mean, the first thing you hear about is an issue that's always talked around here is water.
Yes. I mean, I think the environmental impact of data centers is really the big challenge that we face, right? And you know, you can sort of divide that environmental impact into three buckets. At least that's the way I think about it. There's water usage.
Yeah.
The second one is, you know, particulate emissions, because they do have big diesel generators. They don't use them all the time. They are there to function as backup. So you know, outside of emergencies, they run for a few hours per year, but they are nevertheless gigantic diesel generators, right? And the third one is power usage, right? These things just use an absolutely obscene amount of electricity, right? And the question of where that electricity is coming from is, of course, a really important one. On the water thing, that is something that I worry less about, at least as it concerns the city of Fredericksburg. My sense is, from talking to people in the industry, is that the cooling technology is getting better all the time in terms of the amount of water that they use, right? They're getting more efficient all the time. So the water needs are going down over time. Also, any data center development that would happen in Fredericksburg would be using what is called effluent water. So it's basically the water that is coming out of our wastewater treatment plant.
Interesting. Okay.
So basically, when water, you know, sort of wastewater flows out of homes and businesses across the city, goes to our wastewater treatment plant, it gets treated to be basically clean water again.
Yeah.
But obviously, you can't drink that, right? You can't reuse it, right? But the data centers can use that water, right? So, you know, any data center would come to the city of Fredericksburg, I don't think, would not be using our potable water from the Rappahannock River. It would be using that recycled water. And, you know, I think that technology is getting better. And because it's, you know, frankly going to be years before any data center actually gets built in the city of Fredericksburg, the technology would be better by that point. I think for that second bucket of environmental issues, when you think about particulate emissions from generators and that kind of thing, you know, I think that's an issue, but I think you have to think about the counterfactual of what would get built instead of data centers on those lands, right? And one thing about data centers is they don't, you know, as they don't generate a lot of automobile trips because there's a fairly small crew of people that's running them at any given time. So, you know, they don't generate a lot of traffic. So if those places where data centers might be in the city of Fredericksburg were businesses or homes, they'd be generating a lot more car traffic, and which of course comes with its own particulate issues, right? So, you know, I think the particulate issues from the generator are something that can be managed, and also something that would not be better in alternative development scenarios. And that leaves the power, right? And the power is the one that really worries me, because these things do require, like I said, obscene amounts of electricity, to the point where, you know, this Virginia is moving backwards on its clean carbon commitments as a state right now because of the demand for power. And I think that's a real problem. Unfortunately, that's not something we can do anything about at the local level. Right? We don't regulate that. That's a matter for the state regulators in Richmond and working with Dominion. So I think that regardless of whether we end up with data centers in the city, like this is something that we need to be engaged with as citizens and as local leaders in just as Virginians, right? That we need to be keeping Dominion's feet to the fire in Richmond to make sure that they are meeting their carbon neutrality commitments, their green energy commitments. And again, that's something that we need to be doing whether or not we have a data center in Fredericksburg, because that's, you know, whether or not we have a data center in the city, that's, they're being built in the state and they are using power, and we need to make sure that we are pushing them on that.
So, well, would they be in at Celebrate Virginia? Is that the area that this being looked at?
Yeah. So the city is formally studying that. The Economic Development Authority, which is a semi-independent body within the city that does not use tax dollars. They raise money through bond issues and stuff like that. So it's not tax dollars. They're the ones who are funding a feasibility study for Celebrate Virginia, sort of behind the ballpark, behind where Wegmans is, that part of the city there. And that's really just the first stage, which is, you know, can a data center be built there? How big could it be? You know, could we reasonably get the power transmission there that we need to get there? What would the impacts of that look like? So we just need to know those things before we move forward. So we're in the process of studying that right now.
We're going to take a quick break and come back, talk about this and some other stuff this morning. Good stuff this morning with Will McIntosh here this morning from Fredericksburg City Council. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:29.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station focused. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Good stuff this morning with Will McIntosh from Fredericksburg City Council, at-large member of City Council. Before we're going to jump back into data centers, just occurred to me, Will, that it was right around this time last year, you were campaigning door to door, and this was it. A year into, you know, has it been what you expected?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I've really, really loved it. The whole thing started with just going door to door and knocking and talking to people in the city of Fredericksburg. And, you know, before I'd ever done that, I thought that was going to be work. And, I thought it was going to be a chore and I wasn't going to enjoy it. And, but I wore out a lot of shoe leather, but I loved every minute of it, right? Just going out and meeting people.
So you liked the campaigning part of it.
Yeah, I liked it a lot more than I thought I would. And serving on council has been an extension of that, right? It's just an opportunity to get to know more people and hear from them more and help build up the community that we all love.
Do you hear a lot? Because you'll hear that elected officials, you know, you hear about the barking dogs and you hear about a lot of the real local
yeah,
stuff.
Sure.
Do you get a lot of that kind of stuff
yeah,
anymore?
Yeah, right. Constituents who need help with things. Sure, right. And we have a great staff at the city, and a lot of what my job is at that point is just to pass it along and to know who the right person is to reach out to solve a problem. This is elected office in the city of Fredericksburg is not a full-time job. You know, I have a day job. I can't go into the city and solve those problems myself. But a lot of what I do is just knowing who to pass those concerns along to. And when we can get them resolved, I feel really good about that.
Back to before the break, we were talking about data centers, and you laid out some of the concerns. I think we covered all of the main concerns. Mm-hmm. On the other side is, and I think in every locality looks at this, the money that would come to the locality is a game changer for everyone considering what your budget is and the money that they're talking about.
Yeah, I think that's the reason why we really have to take this seriously as a community, as a city, is that because they are large, expensive buildings that are full of expensive equipment. And we have a business personal property tax in Virginia, which I always think is a really weird thing to call business personal. Okay, but it's a weird name, right? But you know, they pay essentially a kind of a property tax, a rate every year on those racks and racks of computer equipment in there, which is worth a lot of money in a big thing like that. These things just generate huge amounts of tax revenue. I mean, the numbers that we're seeing on council, the projections are just shy of $5 million a year in tax revenue for every 250,000 square feet of data center. And the study that we talked about a moment ago that we're pursuing in the sort of feasibility study for Celebrate Virginia, we're spitballing a $2 million square feet of data center space out there, right? So that's, you know, somewhere in the ballpark of $35 to $40 million a year in tax revenue from a facility like that.
You can't just dismiss it and say we can't do it.
Yeah, and you know, I think that something that people don't really think about with that is what that kind of revenue means in a place that's the size of the city of Fredericksburg. Our annual budget that we passed last year was just shy of $128 million, right? And, you know, the Spotsylvania County's budget is over $800 million, right? Stafford, I think this year just passed a billion for the first time. You know, when you're looking at Loudoun and Prince William and Fairfax, their annual budgets are in the, you know, $3-5 billion range, right? So the city of Fredericksburg, you know, our budget is just like, it's a drop in the bucket compared to surrounding localities. So when you're talking about $35 or $40 million in new tax revenue, you know, in one of the counties, right, and particularly in the big counties up north, but even in our neighbors, right, that's a small little bump in their budget, and I'm sure it's really nice to have, and I'm sure that the leaders there really appreciate, you know, having more resources to work with. But when you're talking about a city budget of $128 million, right, like we're talking about a 30-35% increase in our annual budget without asking another dime from our residents, from our taxpayers, right, without another dime on the property tax rate. And I think that I've been trying really hard to communicate to people how transformative that could be, right? This is just not a nice thing, you know, small raises for our employees, right? And, you know, nice, it's not a nice little bump. This is a kind of revenue that could completely revolutionize what we could achieve in the city of Fredericksburg without asking another dime from our residents. And it's that possibility that makes me say we absolutely have to take this seriously.
And especially because of so many things that the city is facing right now.
Yeah.
And keeping the tax rate low has been the big problem and the storm cloud that you've been dealing with for,
since
the courthouse went in.
I mean, I think that I hear a lot from people, right, about what we need and the residents are not wrong when they reach out to me, right? You know, we need to make sure that we're paying our teachers and our firefighters and our police and our public works crews, our garbage men, right? We need to make sure that we're paying them competitively, right? So we can keep providing the services that we need to provide to our residents. And if we don't, they're gonna leave us and go to Prince William where they can get paid more, right?
Yeah. And that's happening.
It's happening, yeah. No,
in every locality.
It's happening in every locality, right? And so we need to be sure that we're paying our good people competitively, right? You know, I think the schools have real needs, right? We, as you said a moment ago, right? We're in the process of finishing up this new middle school, and we're going to have a third elementary school after that. And you know, we got to staff those up and you know, build out those programmings. And our school folks have a lot of great ideas for things they could do around career and technical education and that kind of thing. But like that all takes resources. I hear a lot from you know, people all the time about why can't we have a bike trail here or a new sidewalk there, or, you know, they're almost never wrong about that, right? Those are things we need.
Yep.
But those things, again, all cost money. And, you know, one of the unfortunate things about the way politics has gone at the state level under Youngkin is that there's just less and less state money for those, you know, all the state transportation money now is going to like big road widening projects and, you know, which may or may not be necessary, but we are not in the business of building bigger, wider roads in the city of Fredericksburg right now, right? So the kinds of transportation investments that we need in the city are the kind that we're having a really hard time getting money for from the state. So we need our own resources. And then, you know, the final thing I want to talk about is our environmental commitments that we've made. You know, the city council has made two environmental commitments. One is that all city operations will be carbon neutral by 2035, right? So the business that the city does itself, as an entity, will be carbon neutral by 2035. And then we've made a commitment that the city as a whole, right, will run on sustainable energy by 2050. That means all residents, businesses. And those are great goals, and they're really important, and we need to meet them, but they're expensive. Let me give you a quick example of that. We just approved an appropriation to FXB Go to buy a couple new buses. And they're diesel buses, and we should not be buying diesel buses. If we're going to, you know, buses have a lifespan of, you know, somewhere between 7 and 10 years, depending on the bus. And so that means if we want our public transit fleet to be carbon neutral by 2035, we need to begin investing in electric buses soon. But electric buses are anywhere between like 50 and 100% more expensive than a diesel bus right now. You know, I mean, they can be 50% as much or more or twice as much, right, depending. Plus, we would have to build out a whole new set of infrastructure for FXB Go to charge them, right? There'd probably have to be charging places out in the counties where they could charge at the end of their routes and that kind of thing. You know, it's a thing we need to do, but that's an expensive investment, right? So, you know, I there's a little bit of an irony here, right? Which is that we really need to think seriously about attracting a data center, which comes with its own environmental concerns, if we are going to meet our own environmental commitments, because our own environmental commitments cost money, right?
Yeah. So there are definitely issues. So as far as a timeline and a kind of a map of this goes, at this point you're waiting for the EDA to finish their look at this.
Yeah. So that feasibility study that's for Celebrate Virginia. Then down in Richmond, the group called JLARC, which is sort of like the state level research body, right? They've been directed by the General Assembly to come up with a study. We're expecting that in December or January. So I think we're going to want to put that into our hopper and think about that's a different thing than what the EDA is. You know, the EDA is making a very specific study about what would a data center look like in Fredericksburg, right? Yeah. Which is not something that the JLARC study is going to tell us, right? But they're going to talk a lot. That study will give us insight into a lot of the kind of energy issues and kind of things at a state level. So we want to get that study and put that into our hopper. But, you know, none of this is going to happen anytime soon because they're building data centers so quickly in Virginia at this rate that if you put in an application now to get connected to the grid for power, the waiting queue, I understand, is something like 7 years before you would get connected to the grid.
Yeah.
So none of this is going to happen anytime soon, right? Like even if a data center developer came to Fredericksburg and said yes tomorrow, they probably wouldn't be up and running for 7 years. So this is not something that's happening anytime soon. Yeah.
And I guess it's in some ways too, you're tied to what some of the other localities in the area. You're all kind of at the same. You're all at the same level right now. If there's studies on it. Stafford has approved a few.
Yeah, and Spotsylvania has too.
Yeah.
You know, and they to some extent, right, can move more quickly than we can, and were more attractive prospects at the beginning because they just have more land, right? It's easier to site a large development in one of the counties than the city, right?
City has just very few options.
Yeah, we don't have a lot. We have basically like two places where it could be built.
Yeah.
Where one could be built, but the and you know our land values are higher, right? So it's got to be worth it. So we were not I think we weren't like an attractive first choice for a lot of developers just because of our land constraints. But you know at this point, I think basically all the good sites in the region have you know developers with options on them. So so they're looking at us now, right? Yeah.
So. A to be continued story.
Yes, absolutely.
For sure. Will McIntosh from City Council here this morning. One of the things that's happened since you and I got together was the train derailment really illustrated how, you know, we see these things happening in other parts of the country.
Yeah.
All of a sudden it happened here and we were oh so close to having something that was totally different than what it turned
really
out.
Lucky. We got really lucky that there was not anything hazardous in those cars that derailed.
Yeah.
We got really lucky that it derailed onto a couple of garages that didn't have people in them at the time, right? I mean, you know, they were garages, but, you know, people work on their cars in their garage. And so we got really lucky that there was no one in those garages at the time and that, yeah, that there was nothing hazardous in the cars that derailed. But I mean, I think that this has been a real wake up call to be like, you know, we had a real close brush here. And in the city, we've been working very closely with Representative Spanberger to try to get the Federal Railroad Administration to pay more attention to this and to think about what are some reforms that we can pursue at the federal. Because the thing is, railroads are regulated federally. You know, we can't tell CSX what to do in the city.
Right.
It's a federal matter, right? So Representative Spanberger has been really helpful in bringing the FRA's attention to this. And we are in the process of working with the Federal Railroad Administration to pursue, you know, a longer term set of fixes or at least regulatory changes to make this kind of thing less likely to happen again. And it's also really shown a spotlight on a longer term issue that we've had with CSX in the city, which is the CSX parking tanker cars full of hazardous materials in Mayfield.
Yep.
And also idling diesel engines overnight in Mayfield. And if you've never gone down and driven along Railroad Avenue in Mayfield, right, there's homes right next to the train tracks.
Yes.
And right next to the CSX yard there. And there is, you know, it has gotten a lot better. But there was a period there where CSX was storing tanker cars full of propane and things like that, you know, within a few hundred yards of people's houses. It was unacceptable.
Yeah.
You know, we've been building our working relationship with CSX, and that has gotten better in some ways. Though I think there's still problems with, you know, train crews idling engines overnight, you know, keeping people awake, you know, emitting all sorts of dirty particulates into the neighborhood. So, you know, this is, I think, one small silver lining of the derailment too, right, is that it has really shown a spotlight on those issues, which the Mayfield community has been struggling with for years. Right?
Oh, it has. Whoever's represented Mayfield on city council over the years has brought these issues up.
Yeah.
And they get a little bit, sometimes, you know, a little bone is thrown here or there, nothing like
We've made some progress of it, but, you know, we don't really have any power over CSX.
Right. And
the power we have is to embarrass them, right, in public, which is what we have to do, right, is call them to the carpet and tell them that it's unacceptable and you know, really put kind of public pressure on them. That's the only lever that we have in the city. And we have made progress doing that. So, you know, it's not nothing, but, you know, this is really helpful that the FRA is now involved.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
When we talk about, you know, money and needing money and all, and ground finally broken for a new fire station that has been been talked about for a long
years.
Time.
Yeah.
And it's so needed, but somewhere down the line, when you talk about needing money, you're going to be needing fire engines and staffing and that kind of thing.
Yeah, and we've begun ramping up to that, right? You know, one of the things that we've been learning about this year is that the lead time on manufacturing a new fire apparatus is years.
Yeah.
It's years between when you place the order and when you get the thing.
Who knew? I thought it was like buying a car.
No, but I think these things are like kind of like, you know, almost like hand-built, right? Custom built, right? I mean, they're highly specialized pieces of equipment. So the lead time is years, right? So we actually have just, we're just about to float a bond issue in the city, and one of the things that we're doing is placing a couple of orders for new apparatus that are replacing ones that are aging out of our fleet and beginning to build up for the third fire station, because we have to order them and unfortunately pay for them now.
Yeah.
So that they'll be here in a couple of years when we need them.
Yeah.
But the fire station is so exciting, right? I mean, our fire team and our EMS team have been absolutely bursting at the seams in their two locations, and particularly with the growth of the city west of 95.
Yep.
You know, we've not had good response times out there because we didn't have crews stationed. You know, they had to fight their way across 95.
Yep.
And as we build more housing and stuff out in Central Park and in Celebrate, we need to have better coverage of that. So the third fire station, for those who don't know, is being built on Fall Hill Avenue in the Bragg Hill neighborhood, sort of where the baseball field is there on the corner of Wicklow Drive and Fall Hill Avenue. And that's a great location because, you know, they're right at the top of the hill. They can get down town and provide service in downtown, you know, support the downtown fire station that way. They can also shoot right across 95 on Fall Hill, where the traffic isn't so bad, and provide service out there too. So I think it's a good strategic location.
Yeah.
And we are going to replace that ball field with an enhanced facility down at the Sunshine Ballpark, which is just down the street there.
Yeah.
Right, to make sure that we aren't losing recreational facilities as part of this.
Will McIntosh here. We'll take a quick break and wrap this up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
City Councilman Will McIntosh in this morning. Good stuff this morning as we go over some things. New visitor center, that's going to happen soon,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. I was there on last Friday for the first day of early voting, which, hey, shout out to everyone. Early voting has started in Virginia, right? So I was down there for the first day of early voting, and you can see in it now, right? They were putting down the tile floor. I think the city council is going to be in there in the next couple of weeks, right? Doing a kind of final hard hat tour.
Yeah.
It's going to be open well before holiday. So, you know, it'll be open for the holiday seasons, and it looks fabulous.
I was going to ask, I have not seen it, but
it's gorgeous. Yeah.
Compared to what we have, the kind of the quaint visitor center we have, this is sort of into the modern era,
I guess. And I know a lot of people are sad about the passing of the old, quaint visitor center, and I totally hear that, right? There was a certain charm of old Fredericksburg to that.
Yeah.
But this place is, the new one is, they were bursting at the seams there. They did not have enough space to tell all the stories we needed to tell.
No.
This one's going to have exhibit space and community space and interactive exhibits. It's going to be ADA accessible, which the old one wasn't, which is incredibly important, right? We want to be welcoming to all visitors.
Yeah.
And of course, it's right next to our great city parking garage. So, you know, people who are coming to visit us can drop their car off in the garage, go to the visitor center, get oriented, and go from there without moving their car. And so, if you walk by, they've redone the plaza on the front of the executive center there, and the plaza on the front of Executive Plaza. It's got an awning, it's got ceiling fans, it's got like a little display where they've put river rocks and a couple of the otters, and there's going to be tables and umbrellas. It's going to be a great place to hang out. Yeah.
Well, there's so many stories to tell.
Yes.
And a bigger space just gives you more opportunity to tell what's available.
And, you know, like most areas, right? It's technology is a thing these days, right? Having screens and interactive exhibits and stuff for the kids, right? And we just didn't have the space to do that in the old one. And we're going to be able to do that in the new one. It's great. Yeah.
I'm glad you mentioned the parking garage, because sometimes you'll drive around town and you get frustrated because you don't see things. Go to the parking garage. It's not that expensive, and it's easy in and out.
Yep.
And
if you have an EV, there's a free charger in there up on the top level. Yeah.
Yeah. So the parking garage it remains underused.
Yes.
Yep. And you can save yourself the hassle of going around and just looking for things.
Yeah.
Comprehensive plan. You've got till October 15th.
Yep.
And you don't have to be a city resident to make your views known.
Nope. Yep. The survey is live until October 15th. It's at fredericksburgva.gov/forward. We got events tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. to noon at Dixon Park. You can come and give us your feedback in person, or next Saturday, October 5th, at the Fredericksburg Area Museum.
And it's an important... Local governments always talk about it's an important document, but especially now it's an important document.
Yeah, our region's going through a lot of changes, right? A lot of growth, and this is going to be the document that guides our decision making for the next decade. And so, we really want to hear from the community about what they want for us over the next decade.
So you've got till October 15th. When will this go before council at some point?
Yeah. So then the consultants who actually developed the document will go away and actually write the document. You know, we should be seeing drafts right before Christmas. Drafts being circulated around the holidays. And then in the spring, there'll be a series of public hearings, both with the Planning Commission and with City Council, where we will be giving our feedback on the draft and where community members will have an opportunity to come and give feedback on the draft. So there'll be lots more opportunities for feedback at that stage, too. And we're aiming for adoption sometime, you know, late spring, summer next year. I mean, who knows? We're not on a timeline, right? We have to get it right before we adopt it. But yeah, there'll be in January, February, March, there'll be a series of public hearings and more opportunities to give your feedback once there's a draft that exists in the new year. Yeah.
Will McIntosh, thank you so much again. It's always great to have you here. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, Ted, and thanks for having me.
We'll do this again soon. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Will McIntosh, at large, Fredericksburg City Council. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.